Scarefest Weekend presents Best CityCon 8 live from the floor. Take your pants off. Cue the nipple talk.
Wait, what number is it?
It's Best CityCon 8. The Ocho.
There it is.
Cue.
There it is.
Everybody take your pants off. Whoever's got the biggest dinner plate size nipples, you get to talk first.
Oh, I'm out.
Because we are joined.
How do we figure this out by taking off our pants?
What if it's a two-step problem?
What if it's a dinner plate size butthole?
Ooh.
You win.
Oh, no, I was just reading.
Look at how he's staring. He's walking by and just glaring. It's like he caught us cheating.
Yeah. Wait, with his big Lebowski costume.
I made that joke last year.
No. And it still hits.
It really ties the room together.
I'm just glad he's not on the hover round this year.
Yeah.
All right, so we got Drew looking like...
Drew from the Lucid.
Let's talk about this picture real quick.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, like...
Which Hot Topic catalog did that come from?
How did the photographer just go, hey, I want sultry?
You know what's funny is that we just set up a camera and like a tripod because we all got together to do music videos. Like, might as well take pictures too. And this is probably the best of the bunch.
Why does the lead, like the reflection in his sunglasses, makes it look like you were all sitting at a dinner table?
I think we were.
Did you take this picture in an Applebee's? Yes.
It was a Chili's.
Ooh. Oh, the Chili's. Yeah. You can't go wrong.
I thought it was an Olive Garden because when you're there, your family.
You familia. Drew, how are you? Thank you for lowering your standards and coming and talking to us.
Thank you for lowering your standards talking to me.
Absolutely not.
Bringing the bar just a little bit.
Yeah. So tell us about the Lucid. Tell us about, like, what's your deal?
Oh, all right. Well, it's something kind of put together kind of randomly. I used to play in a band called Bang Tango, and we played Rocklahoma. That's where I met Ellefson from Megadeth.
Okay.
And then I've known Mike from Fear Factory for a long time. And then we had a couple of demos. We're like, who are going to get to sing on this? And for some reason, I was like, hey, what about the singer of Sponge?
Why
and,
not?
Yeah. None of us knew him, so I literally just sent his website an email, and he replied back, and he was like, yeah, I'll be
here. Hey, you want to do vocals?
Sure. I know every time I get an email that says, hey, you want to do vocals, I say yes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a good policy.
Exactly.
You didn't just get voice acting.
That's true. I did.
It tracks. It checks out.
And since that photo, we actually roped in Violent J into the whole situation,
that's
too.
Amazing.
Why is Violent J here?
I think Juggalo Weekend was this weekend.
No, Juggalo Weekend was like 2 weeks. No, one of my friends on Instagram went. It was last weekend in Texas.
Last weekend.
So it was not. It was not. It wasn't anything it is.
I'm going to tag him in this interview and say, Violent J, you should be here.
Absolutely. Yeah, love
Damn
him. Love
it.
Him.
We thought it was over.
Yeah, all right.
We're going. We're just going to keep going.
Yeah. We're just going to power through it.
So what does Violent J bring to the table?
What do you
think? That's a good question.
That's a good question. It's just, that's another eccentric piece to the really oddball puzzle that doesn't need to exist.
Yeah. I mean, but it's crazy that, like, this picture where it says everyone's from and stuff. I mean, it is. It's a very eclectic mix.
And the music is pretty eclectic, too. Like, we put out an EP with Violent J, and we cover pretty much every genre. The first track's a country song, then it's a thrash song with Violent J singing on it. And then it's like a funk metal song, and then we got a Faith No More cover.
Wow.
Epic, but it's retitled The Sweet Tooth because Violent J and Ben from Sponge rewrote the lyrics and melodies. And we have real strings on it, too, for no fucking reason. No, I don't know if we can swear on it.
You can okay, absolutely cool,
for
swear.
For no fucking reason.
Shit, yeah, you can swear. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Buttholes.
Nipples!
Yeah, we had Mick on here earlier. Yeah. Of course you can fucking curse.
I say human swear words. Oh, so yeah, you can swear as much as you want.
It was all dinner plate nipples everywhere.
Yes.
As far as the eye can see.
He tickled his dinner plate sized nipples during that. So the debut album is out now.
Fingers.
No.
This is actually quite out of date. This is from a couple years ago. So the
debut album has been out for a couple years.
Since 2021.
Okay.
We put out the EP with Violent J last year.
Okay.
And... that's called Saddle Up and Ride. And I just wrote and directed a movie. All these guys are in it. Hannah produced it. She's in it. I'm in it. Violent J's in it.
All right.
Paul T. Taylor's in it.
You can stop selling me on the movie at any point.
I name drop.
Where can I watch it?
Wait, there's more. It's I'm still editing it.
Okay.
It's probably about around like the fall. That'll be out. And speaking of Chud, me and Ellefson made a zero-budget found footage horror movie called Dwellers that is Chud if it was shot like Blair Witch.
Oh, nice.
I'm in.
I'm on. I, like, yeah, like.
So where is this one at?
Yeah, the Tubi and all that. I got physical copies down there, too. And all that.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And I was also in a movie called Her Name Is Krista, which is the most romantic necrophilia love story ever told. And I'm the comedic relief.
Have you seen Lisa Frankenstein?
Oh, God. Oh, God. He goes on about this movie.
Who does she think she is?
He goes on about this.
Is she here? Where is she?
Fuck you, Diablo Cody.
Oh, jeez.
I'll say it for you.
I guarantee this one's a bit more rough around the edges, for sure, visually. And there's a part where he sees, like, going. Well,
yeah, you'll see.
Just watch it. Just watch it.
It's goofy. It's very goofy.
You'll see. So recommend me, if I've never heard the Lucid before, recommend me, like, three songs that I need to hear to get, like, what it's about.
I'd say Hair. That's the first song we wrote together. And Hannah actually directed and is in the music video for that one. And Hannah Fearman. Another song.
Now, we're on a first-name basis with her. It's okay.
Right.
We're all on a first name basis with her. Hannah, we're good.
Hannah, I'm really sorry about it. I just have to put that out there again. I'm really sorry about it, really.
No, you know it's okay because...
I meant it in the best possible
way. Oh, shut. It was hysterical. We all did.
Yeah, it's all good. Let's laugh at Jason from Superhero Deep Dive. You can catch him on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive.
First of all, nice plug.
Superhero Deep Dive.
You know it's okay because he keeps reassuring you that it's okay.
Yeah.
So the 8th, 9th, and 10th time he tells you
We've
that it's okay, that's how you
like
know
five
it's okay.
Times.
Hannah, I'm
six
so
times
sorry.
Down. It was funny.
Yeah, she's like, she says, it's okay, from way back over there.
And she's waving as she walks.
I think she just
like,
gave us
fine.
The finger.
That's
it's
fair.
Fine. Don't call. Don't follow me.
All right, so Hair.
Hair. Sweet Tooth, the Faith No More cover.
Okay.
Which is actually originally Epic, but we retitled it and everything. And the connection with that is I used to play guitar for Chuck Mosley, the first singer of Faith No More, with Caroline.
Oh, that's cool.
Until he passed away. At the shows, I used to play Epic to fuck with him. And he would have fun with it, so it was kind of like a weird oddball tribute to him. And his manager is actually in that new movie, too, called Bunker Heights, with all of us. And third song
continue
would be,
name drops. Continuing the name drops.
I'm somebody. Look at me naming all these people I know.
I figured, I was like, I want to get you guys interested in something, and I think we're there.
We're interested in you.
Yeah.
What is this dude pointing at?
No!
Yeah, exactly.
He has to tell us the third song!
He's pointing at you!
He's pointing at your dinner plate-sized nipples.
Yes, there it is.
Okay, boom! I want to know the third song, because I want to know if it's your most played song on Spotify.
Oh, here we go.
Third song.
Because I checked it out on Spotify. That's what we were listening to in the car on when we were driving to,
Okay, I dig it.
Maggot Wind.
Yeah, that's the most played song on Spotify. That's the most played song on Spotify.
Love it.
So I want to know, have you toured at all?
Not yet. We were gonna. So this is kind of like a sort of a sad story.
Yes.
We love sad stories when he says it.
And it was all because of me, too. So we had a tour booked right when we put that out. The album came out in October 2021. The tour was me May, June, rest of the year 2022. I ended up getting testicular cancer.
Jeez.
And so I had to...
What the fuck kind of twist is that?
Hold on. No. Let the man talk.
You want to see my scar?
No joke. Kind of.
So I had to get my right testicle removed.
Your ball scar, I'll show you mine.
Oh, gosh.
I had to go into the abdomen, so it's like right up here.
Okay.
And so because of that, we had to cancel. So we were going to do Europe and all that. We had to cancel everything.
Oh, wow.
And then after that, he was in Megadeth. He was in Sponge. He's in Fearback. Everybody got busy.
Right.
So we have finally one show for September this year at Crypticon in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
It all comes back to Minnesota.
I'll ask, if you're putting together, a show. Who do you want to play with? It's you and three other bands. Who's playing?
Oh,
and you can't use anyone else on the flyer.
Shit.
That's a great question.
That is a really good question.
And I'm going to make it even harder. They have to still be actively playing music. Oh. So you can't be like, well, the Doors and Jimi Hendrix and then the Doors again.
I'd really love to jam with Ace Frehley.
What if I just would want to have you guys open and close for us?
Yeah, we don't play music. And we
just do the podcast.
You just want us to mock the crowd?
Yeah, exactly.
That's basically
legitimately, if you're
your cell phone full of questions.
If you're making your list, who's on that want list to tour with?
I guess, it's with it being as eclectic as it is. I suppose Faith No More would be the go-to.
Yeah, for sure.
Like a Mr. Bungle or something along those lines, and Faith No More, they let us use Epic. I ended up coming to show me with them because of Chuck.
Yeah,
and so they let us. do what we did to Epic, which was, but they loved it though. But most of the people, anybody anywhere else, didn't really like it, so it could be sacred ground, you know.
Right.
But it's pretty much a note by note cover musically with real strings and Violent J kind of
did his own thing over it. But
that was like. I mean, that was like a lot of people's first exposure into the genre.
Right now.
I mean, that was. I mean, if you think about it, like, that song was everywhere.
Well, and, like, especially for a guy who listens to the style of music I do, like, a lot of people credit, like, Faith No More for being one of the first, like, proto new metal bands.
And they got something for everybody, too, because they dipped into R&B, they dipped into funk, they dipped into rap, everything.
They were
insane.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, I mean, it's Mike Patton, so of course it's fucking crazy, so.
Fair.
My favorite Mike Patton fact is the fact that he does voice work for the game Portal.
Oh,
have you played it?
No.
There's you in the boss fight you have to unhook like different personalities from the main computer, and he's the one that just growls.
That's amazing.
So Mike Patton and makes like Tasmanian devil noises.
Of course he does. That's incredible. Yeah. My favorite Mike Patton fact is that when they open up for Guns N' Roses, Mike Patton snuck into Axl Rose's dressing room, took a shit in his orange juice carton, and left.
Wow.
That is great.
That's a good fact.
That is a really good fact.
So like you play music, you are in horror movies. I think I just want your life.
Yeah, really.
It's a.
We know why you want it.
Don't make it weird.
Yeah. Too late. Oh, he's turning red. There he goes.
No.
And it's off.
Okay. So we talked about three bands.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got to be three bands.
Yeah.
So Faith No More.
Yeah, Faith No More. We got two more to go.
Faith No More. Shit.
Just put it out there, man. It's okay.
Yeah, I say Hoobastank.
Say you fucking want the Jonas Brothers.
Jonas Brothers.
Hoobastank. Say Hoobastank.
No, not Hoobastank. No,
I don't. Dude, yo, I will fight about this. Crawling in the Dark is a fucking banger.
Yeah.
Like it is that their entire first album is an underrated nu metal fucking banger of an album.
Huh. That was a problem with a lot of those bands at the time because they'd have the radio single and it'd sell the band the wrong way. Sure, it'd get them notoriety.
Well, like the downside is they went like the Sugar Ray route, like the Reason hit, and they completely changed their style of music.
Right, oh, yeah.
Because like Sugar Ray's like first two albums are basically like heavy and fucking hard,
like punk thrash kind of. Yeah. Yeah, they're like skater.
Yeah, like very like again, kind of like proto nu metal shit. Like,
yeah.
But no, like. No joke. Go back. Listen to the first Hoobastank album. It is a fucking banger.
I will definitely check that out. That sounds really cool.
I might have to do this. Yeah.
See, look what I started. You're welcome, Hoobastank.
Sorry.
So Faith No More.
You insult Hoobastank, and I will come for you.
Shit. I don't know. I don't listen to music like I used to, so like off the top of my head, I can't really think of anything right now.
You can say Living Color. It's fine.
Yes. Okay. Everybody loves Living Color.
Okay, Living Color. That's a good Living Color. You go Living Color.
Eclectic.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Sugar Ray. Let's just say
Sugar Ray.
Mark McGrath.
Mid-90s Sugar Ray, man. Yeah.
Mark McGrath is a dear friend of mine.
If I can put together their set list, Sugar Ray. That was kind of like my cousin and I were talking about Louder Than Life in Louisville. I'm stoked, like... I really specifically want to go Sunday. There's like a shit ton of bands I really want to see.
I think Sponge is going. It's playing that one, actually.
Hey. I think they actually are. I can't remember what day, but like...
I think it's the Sunday. I think it's the same day as Slayer or something like that.
Slayer, I think, is Thursday.
Is that Thursday?
Yeah, because Korn headlines Sunday.
Oh, okay, yeah. So maybe like, it's the Korn day then.
But we were talking about like Korn headlining, and my cousin was like, aren't you excited? And I was like, yeah, if they play the stuff off their first five albums, I'll be thrilled.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I kind of dropped off Korn after the first three. After issues, I was...
I have a very unpopular Korn opinion.
What do you got?
Life is Peachy is their best album.
Love Life is Peachy.
Life is Peachy is their best album.
That was the second one, right?
Yeah, that's the second
one. Yeah, love Life is Peachy.
Oh, so like... What are your Desert 5-5 albums?
Oh, shit.
I know. I'm coming with the heat. You play music, so like...
You are in his wheelhouse, so...
Let's see.
I'm over here like, I love Lionel Richie. I'm over here by myself. It's like, I'm just watching this. Let's sing all night long together. Like,
probably Guns N' Roses. I want to say Chinese Democracy because I love that album, to be perfectly honest with you. But probably Appetite.
Yeah. Fair.
Say Bon Jovi, Slippery When Wet.
Oh, no.
Absolutely not.
Save the Spawn soundtrack.
Oh, dude, man. I love the dance remixes. And
dude,
everything.
It's coming out on...
love the Spawn soundtrack.
Record Store Day. It's getting a special vinyl release.
Ooh.
Be a Man by Macho Man Randy Savage.
Mortal Kombat soundtrack with Seven Dust when they weren't called Seven Dust.
That's right. And Fear Factory's on there.
Yeah.
And Lords of Acid, I think.
Yeah, Lords of Acid. KMFDM's on there, too.
That's right. It's great.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of good shit.
The Be a Man album by Macho Man Randy Savage.
You have that on vinyl.
I do have that on vinyl.
You're welcome.
Purple vinyl. It's still sealed.
I'm the man.
Yeah.
Be a man, Hogan. Be a man. So we got two. We're missing three. We have Appetite for Destruction and the Mortal Kombat soundtrack.
Mortal Kombat soundtrack.
I know.
Zeppelin Physical Graffiti?
Okay.
So that's three. And then probably Megadeth, Rest in Peace.
A little louder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
I'm like, I'm just like,
say the Zeppelin album again.
Zeppelin Physical Graffiti.
And then
Megadeth, Rest in Peace. So I could go off of here, huh? Off of these bands?
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then Sponge, Wax Ecstatic.
Okay. I have to flip that like you don't know. I have to come clean real quick. I've never heard Sponge.
Ooh, you have, but you just don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You have. I didn't think I heard him until he said Wax Ecstatic. And then I'm like, I actually listened to it on the way here.
Do you want to hear the surprise thing? It would be on my five.
What's that?
Farmhouse by Fish.
Ooh, Fish, that's a great band.
Yeah, my brother's all time favorite. Like, I'm very much a new metal guy. Like, are you familiar with Head PE?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've seen them 18 times. Yeah, I've seen them 18 times live.
Wow.
My brother has. I am dwarfed by the number of times my brother has seen Fish. He's seen them like 62 times.
Sample in a jar.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
But no, like, it's an underrated album. Like, a lot of Fish fans hate that album because it was their most radio friendly and their most popular. But like, yeah, but no.
They were like the Grateful Dead of the 90s.
Yeah,
you
know? And they're still touring. They're still making music.
That's awesome.
So yeah, but no, that would be one of my big surprises. Like, that would probably be the only one that would surprise me, because like, Broke by Head PE's on there, Significant Other by Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Machine by Static X.
I know
everyone loves Wisconsin Death Trip, but like Machine
is great. Black and White.
Yeah, Black and White. Yeah. Cold.
Oh yeah.
Like, the first two times I saw them, in 2002 and 2014, they closed with Gift of the Gone, and I was like, that is a fucking killer song to close your set with.
Absolutely.
And then, God, for my fifth one, I would probably go 36 Chambers. Gotta go Wu-Tang Clan.
Nice.
Can't go wrong with the Clan, man.
No. So, and I know you didn't ask mine, but they were my five. So.
Oh, that's great. Oh, yeah. And Sponge, you ever see Empire Records?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, say a prayer for me.
Oh! Okay, yeah.
That's an awesome song.
Oh, yeah.
So, what got you into music? Or was it just like I started playing bass at like the age of 10, and here we are?
Yeah, well, you pretty much like around like high school age, like right when I get to high school, I used to play a lot of video games. Then I kind of switched over to guitar. I did, like, Zeppelin was a big influence.
Yeah.
It's kind of. It's Jimmy Page and...
Motherfucker, you say high school like it was a long time ago. You look like you're about 20.
Yeah.
So...
Actually, next year is my 20th high school reunion.
Mine was last year,
no
dick.
No kidding.
Yeah. When was yours?
She's doing the math. He has to carry the math.
Shut up.
So...
Carry the two.
Kiss my ass. Yeah. Kiss my black ass.
But yeah, like... No, so, like, and was it, like, the jump from, like, doing music, or was it, like, was the music, were the movies the music thing, like, what really kind of came first?
So the way that happened was, I was bartending, I'm from Chicago.
Okay.
And my boss told me this band, Bang Tango, is going to come play, and they were, like, early 90s MTV, like, they had a couple minor hits, like, funk metal band.
Yeah.
And so they show up. I happen to have a camera in my hand. Next thing you know, I'm doing a documentary on them with zero filmmaking background whatsoever.
Oh, shit.
Spent 4 years making a documentary on them, learned how to do it by trial by fire, pretty much. And they got Dee Snider to do the opening narration.
That's killer.
Ricky Rackman's in it and a bunch of people. Ended up having to release it for free because of song clearing issues. And But after I finished the documentary, it's on YouTube for free, so you can watch it, I ended up joining the band as a guitar player. And because I was so familiar with the band, and they were on their rock bottom lowest of the low, touring dive bars by that point. So
that's the best time to get in.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, that's how we all got involved in this stuff.
Yeah.
And the other guitar player at that time, too, was Rowan Robertson. He was Dio's guitar player in the late 80s.
Oh, nice.
Okay. And incredible, wonderful guy. And through that, we played Rocklahoma in 2016. It was the 10th anniversary. Bang Tingo played the first Rocklahoma, so they brought the band back as like an anniversary thing.
Yeah,
cool. So we opened up the main stage, and then after us, it was like 6 a.m., Megadeth, Rob Zombie.
Holy shit. That. So, like...
That's awesome.
I don't want this to sound like a backhanded compliment, but, like, what's it like going from Rocklahoma to dive bars?
Yeah, it was funny, because for that run, we played two dive bars, Rocklahoma, then two dive bars again. It was very humbling. And that's where I met Ellefson, though, from Megadeth.
Yeah.
Backstage, we just kind of had very similar demeanors, and we just kind of hit it off instantly.
That's awesome.
Cool.
And then after that, I played guitar for Chuck Logan from Faith No More. Met his good friends with his manager / conga player, who I ended up doing movies with as well. His name's Doug Esper. And through that, I randomly got into acting and saw an audition for this movie called Her Name is Krista. I was a fan of the director / star. His name was James L. Edwards. In a lot of 90s shot on video movies, he was in The Dead Next Door from the 80s.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And so audition, got the part at Chuck Mosley's house. And that's how me, James, the director, Her Name is Krista, and Doug gelled together. That's how I got the idea for Dwellers. It's a zero-budget found footage horror movie. David Ellison's in it. And I shot it over 4 non-consecutive days in this tunnel in Cincinnati that we found. And
it's,
and it ended up winning a bunch of awards. Some people love it. Some people fucking hate it. But it's a good time, though, if you like
that. That's fucking awesome.
Oh, that's great.
And then from there... I was in a lot more stuff with James L. Edwards. Brimstone Incorporated is a horror anthology. I play Hell's Lawyer in the wraparound story. And through that is when the director of Dead Next Door, J.R. Buchwalter, he came out of retirement after 20 years in that directing movie. He made a new one called Side Effects May Vary, and I'm one of the leads in that one. That's doing a theatrical tour right now, and all that. I'm trying to keep this as rich as possible for you guys. I actually wrote a memoir as a joke a couple years ago, as a complete joke, and up until I started acting, and it's just to make fun of the music business and how terrible it is. It's called Dark, Depressing, Hilarious.
That's awesome.
And you're in a bag.
Oh yeah, exactly. That all
in a bag.
And that all kind of led to the Lucid as well. It all kind of came together. I've always had a day job throughout all this too, Monday through Friday.
Yeah, you know how I said I want your life? I'm good.
Never mind.
I like my day job and my 1 hour a week podcast. I do.
Because all this stuff I never really forced into existence. It kind of just organic.
Yeah.
Kind of pushed it a little bit. Then it's like, okay, everybody else is on board too. Let's do it. And then that leads into Bunker Heights. We just put out the trailer last month. That's this new movie they wrote, direct, starring with Hannah Fearman, Paul T. Taylor's in it, Violent J, Vinny Dabrowski from Spawn, David Ellefson, Chaney Morrow. There's a lot of people.
Look at all these people I know. Look at all these people I know.
Look how great I am. I know all these things.
Let me ask you, from your story, from the way it sounds, like you were kind of there, you were hanging out, and it all just started happening.
Yeah.
Just like Mohan said, there's no backhanded compliment, so if it comes across the way, I'm really sorry.
Oh, no, you
guys. Because apparently I'm really good at that. was there a huge passion, or was it like, this happened, and I'm here for the ride, and as I was on the ride, I got more into it? Or was there like that passion, like, I've got to immerse myself and evolve from there?
It was all passion, for sure. It was only...
That's awesome.
The only time I ever wanted do anything is if my full heart's into it, you know.
Yeah.
Like I said, I got the day job, so like I got to be very careful with the extra time I have,
right,
you know.
Right.
So like the Lucid Dwellers, all that stuff, it was my full heart and soul went into it, you know.
That is awesome.
And it's the same thing with the new one, that Bunker Heights one, which is pretty much just all of me and Hannah's friends kind of got together. We shot some of it in Harriman, Tennessee, at this abandoned hospital and all that. We made it for $30,000, you know. And
yeah,
that's awesome.
And she was talking about it when we talked to her earlier. Yeah.
And that was just totally, everybody was on the same page.
I believe she dropped her name too.
Yes.
How dare she?
You don't have to worry about that.
Once or twice.
Everyone's been like, yeah, no, that's what's been fucking awesome. Like, Like, everyone we've talked to, it's just been this, like, love fest between, like, you, Mick, and her. Like, everyone has just, like, name-dropped the other person to just talk about, like, how close-knit, how tight, and how nice, like, working with all these people is.
No one is taking credit, like, for what they've done.
No, if anything, everyone's trying to push credit off on the other people.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Crazy.
Yeah, like Bunker Heights, it was a completely collective thing. Like, you know, it just, it wouldn't have worked if just one of the one person was not into it, you know?
Right.
Everybody had to be into it. Everybody was, and it, yeah, it made itself, really. And the same thing with anything else, too. Like, this wouldn't have, the Lucid wouldn't have come together without everybody else just kind of being on the same page and wanting to do it.
Everybody,
it's the, you know, everybody's an important piece. Everybody's an equal, you know?
And so how did the Lucid happen? Was it like you guys just hanging out and you're like, let's just jam together, and then something happened, you're like, wow, this is, we're really working well together, let's pursue this? Or, I mean,
to be honest with you, we never played a note of music together to this day. And it was all just yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
We've been around each other many a times, but it was all because Vinny.
Is it piecemeal? Like you're all recording at home and sending it to each other?
Yeah. Yeah. Because Vinny, he lives in Detroit. He recorded all of his parts in Detroit. Me from Indianapolis. Mike, he produced it, the drummer, and so he was kind of in charge of what he needed, and he's incredibly meticulous.
Right.
And so we made sure he got, and he was so good at it. They made it sound like that we were in a room together recording.
Yeah.
You know,
that's amazing.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
And I think it was like when they used to do like the show Making the Album back on MTV back in the day. They talked about Morning View, the Incubus album.
They
talked about how like they were running so short on time that like five or six of the songs on the album are just because, you know, they were also like, most bands don't record albums in the same room, everyone playing
instruments. Right.
But, like, they had to record, like, half the album like that because they were running so short on time. Yeah. But, like, I think it comes across because I love Incubus's first, like, five albums.
Yeah.
But, like, Morning View is the one that, like, just feels like it has, like, a shit ton of love in it.
It's funny how you can hear it with music, you know?
Absolutely.
You can really hear it.
Mm-hmm. So
nice. So how can people keep up with you and all the stuff that you're doing, the Lucid and all that? Like, how can people, if they want to know more about what you're doing and where they can get more stuff, where's the best place?
I guess you can find me on the Facebook and all that, and the Instagram and everything. I personally, I like to lay low, you know.
Yeah.
I like to kind of stay under the radar a bit and just kind of only pop my head out every once in a while when I got a reason to, you know.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
And really, like the Lucid, you can find on Spotify. It's on Facebook and everything. Same thing with Bunker Heights, which would be the next thing. That's on Facebook and Instagram and all that. I'd say I'd want to direct everybody to you guys to check out all your episodes because you guys have been awesome. It's one of the funnest interviews I've done.
You learned the secret.
Personal Instagrams. Oh no, that's a fake wrestling persona. You don't need that one. Take this
one. He's not fake. He's legit.
Sorry, kayfabe.
It's been a pleasure.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine.
For being so cool and lowering your standards to come hang out with us.
Look at you lowering your standards.
I appreciate it.
I'll put my mic on, too.
Half hour of your day where you could be doing something much more fruitful with your time.
Hey, we could do more tomorrow.
Everyone knows.
Thank you so much. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Drew, thank you.
With everything else going forward. Like, best of luck, seriously, on everything you got going
forward. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, guys.